Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
For tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, and we are back in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. And truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to wish everyone a happy new year. It's been a blessing to be able to make it through 2018 over to 2019. And so we thank God for allowing us to see another year. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
And is Dr. G with us tonight?
We're here.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for you, Dr. G. Happy New Year to you.
Well, same to you.
I know everybody in the family has been battling this, I guess we call it early winter bugs that have been going around, but we thank God that he is a healer. And by his stripes, we all are healed. And we thank God for that. So we're going to get right into the lesson. So I ask God blessing, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we would be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, the last time we were together, we were finishing up the first chapter of the book of Acts, and in that last section, we were talking about how the church remained steadfast, or his disciples, Jesus' disciples, remain steadfast in spite of the challenges of the church, and replaced Judas with another disciple, and how challenging that was during the time of Jesus' his death and before his ascension back to heaven. The importance of the church remains steadfast in ministry, and knowing that, you know, even though challenges come and go, we can stay steadfast in ministry. And we were talking about how that's one of the biggest challenges in ministry is just remaining steadfast, dealing with people, dealing with situations and circumstances. But despite the people, the situation, or the circumstances, we have to remain steadfast. And, you know, that's what God had them to do. And always know that when you're doing the work of the Lord, that there's going to be challenges to ministry and challenges to you remaining steadfast. And one of the things that we've been dealing with during this early part of winter is just dealing with colds and viruses and bugs and all these things. But in the end, we just have to continue to trust God and continue to press our way in spite of what's going on. Sheila G.
And, you know, I would say that because what Pastor had us do for New Year's Eve, we had members of the church over to the house, and that's what they wanted to bring in the year together. And we kind of went around the room, and he put it out there, reflections on the year, what you went through in the past year in 2018, things that you thought were good, things that you may have done differently. And then also reflection on what you plan on and how changes or things you want to do in 2019. And one of the common things was to trust God in spite of whatever circumstances we're going through, because everybody said that there were certain things in 2018 where they were really challenged and where they really felt like, you know, it was overwhelming and they weren't sure if they were going to make it through, but God brought them through only by faith.
Amen.
What they were taking into 2019 was understanding that when they were faced with those, when we were faced with, all of us were saying the same thing, when we were faced with, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be an environment that we're put in, is that the one thing that we know in 2019 is we just have to trust God and not so much what we see, and walk by faith and not by sight, and be patient and wait on the Lord.
Amen. Dr. G.
Well, I agree with that. Along with that, you know, one comment that I kept hearing was to draw closer to the Lord. And, you know, I've thought about that, and I told him, you know, we're going to do our best to help you, but we're going to put some challenges out there before mm-hmm. them and remind them that the only way that they could have made it through 2018 is by the grace of God. And if going into 29, those statements are true, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit, but you've got to continue to draw close to Him.
Amen. That is so true. And, you know, those challenges are going to come, like you always saying.
Mm-hmm.
And here was the early church, the first century church. After Jesus had just passed off the scene and he was crucified, and, you know, they had to deal with the issues that were at hand. And, you know, like you said, they come and you have to realize God is the one that's going to get you through these issues. And they dealt with it in the church. And, you know, for years, people looked at the church as a leader or a community rock or community place of stability, because it had the ability to deal with the issues of life. It wasn't so much political, but it was more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, people looked to the church for that spiritual guidance, for that community leadership, just a place where people could come and to feel a part of community and know that, you know, people will have problems with their youth or with their marriages or, you know, with their finances or, you know, and things in their houses. They could turn to the church. And, you know, even today, a lot of times people's last resort is to turn to the church.
Right.
And the church has to be able to be led by the Spirit to be able to deal with the situation. and recognize when there's something they can do that they would do, and then you have to be wise to know that sometimes people try to take advantage of the church, but
right.
you have to be take those on a case by case basis and be wise to what God would have the church to do and be consistent about it. So there's always going to be challenges, and God wants the church to set that example. And so as they picked the 12th disciple to replace Judas, what happens was the church was about to receive the Holy Spirit, which was promised to Jesus. Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, that he would not leave the church comfortless, and that they would receive power, and that they would be able to carry out the Great Command. And that leads us over into chapter 2. And in chapter 2, the first verse, it talks about the day of Pentecost. And, you know, a lot of times people are confused about what Pentecost is. But Pentecost, where Pentecost means 50 days. And it is what the Jews at that time counted like the seventh Sabbath after the Feast of First Fruits. The Jews had the tradition of Feast of Weeks, and what it was when the males of age would all gather in Jerusalem and bring sacrifices to Jerusalem as a thanks for God, a thanksgiving sacrifice for God. So they had three solemn feasts, and the first one was one of first fruits, where they would bring barley, and then the week of feast that they would call it, and they would bring wheat, and then they had the Feast of the Tabernacle, in which they would bring olives and grapes, or the fruit of the vine. And so every nation had men would come during this period of time. And so the Feast of Weeks was the second one, where it was 50 days right after the first fruit festival. And so this is why all of them were gathered in one place. All the nations of the Hebrews and the Jews were gathered in one place. And this is where God began to have the Holy Spirit birth the church. And it was an interesting scene, because at that time there were, I don't know how many was the number of people, but it was a lot, you could say thousands of people were there who spoke different languages. And the gospel or the message that God had given to the church to preach or to teach or to reach people, the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, was heard by everyone in that particular setting in their own language. So if you were German, you heard it in German. If you were French, you heard it in French. And this was the days after Jesus was crucified. And Jesus was ministering for 40 days after his resurrection. And then 50 days afterward, after he ascended and the Holy Spirit came on that first fruit, not first fruit, but the Feast of Weeks, where they were celebrating and everybody was in that one place at that one time. And it was interesting to be able to see the diversity or the dynamic of the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to reach so many different people by using his servants who are yielded vessels who are one place on one accord to be able to spread the good news. And he still does that today. He mm-hmm. uses everybody differently to be able to speak to share the same message, different languages, different dialects, different mm-hmm. places, the same message.
Right. You know, you think about even if you go downtown, when I work downtown, I'll pass different churches, and some of it will be in Spanish. So it you can see on the marquee in front of the church, it's Spanish, but you still see where it says Jesus or Christos. Then I mm-hmm. passed one that was like a Korean church, but again, yep. you could still see the emblems of Christ. Then, you know, if you go past the Catholic Church, so it's like everything, but it's all about emblems of Christ. So even though right. they're different denominations or different languages, the one purpose is still the passion of God, and God as we know God as creator of all things and the true living God of love, even though it is, you know, only God could have created that foundation, because how yes. is everybody talking about the same thing in different languages, different denominations? I even saw one that was in Chinese. So it's very interesting to walk past the different dynamics, but in their own way, they're still worshiping God.
Amen.
Amen. So, Dr. G, did I get that right with explaining about the first fruit Feast of Weeks and the Feast of the Tabernacle?
Mm-hmm, you did. And, okay. you know, it, the whole thing is interesting. And as I think as Sheila said, to only under the power of the Holy Spirit could that have been done. And that is what makes it so great. But people just don't seem to get the dynamics today because mm-hmm. their brains are all over the place doing everything but trying to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying.
Amen. And one of the things that I don't know, for years that the church was so enamored in speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
That was the popular thing down through the years, that, you know, people would just, you know, speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do it in the presence of people who didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
So if I spoke German and you were speaking to me in French, I wouldn't get the message.
Right.
And so we have to be careful not to take this scripture out of context to allow people to be out of order when they're speaking in tongues. There's a difference, and we'll learn this as we study Acts more. There's a difference of speaking in tongues for the Holy Spirit to edify an individual, whereas with speaking in tongues as a language so people can understand about the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But sometimes it gets conflated in the church, and because it's such a dynamic thing, people like to skew to the sort of like showing off or something. And that's not what it was meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was meant to reach people in their own language. And the Bible clearly states that. So you have to go to a Bible-believing and teaching a church that delineates, you know, what was happening during that time and what the Scripture says was happening, and so that people will know what the proper means that the Holy Spirit uses people to speak in a different language. And so we have to be careful with that. But sometimes people like the spectacular and you know, they focus on that instead of focusing on, in this verse, first verse of chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that's mm-hmm. the key of any successful ministry.
Yep.
Is everyone is on one accord in the same place. Everybody that's in that building or in that church or in that family is on one accord. That's the success of spreading the gospel. And Sheila G., that's one of the things that the spiritual warfare comes into place, where Satan tries to divide and conquer
right.
of any ministry, is to keep them from being on one accord in one place. Sheila G.?
Amen. And when you think of that, going back to the whole how church, like years ago, had this thing that if you couldn't speak in tongues, then you couldn't, then you weren't saved, and then they were asking
questions.
Yeah,
you have the Holy Ghost.
Right, have you received the Holy Ghost? And those type of questions, those type of intertwining things, those type of judgmental comments keeps the church from being on one accord.
Amen.
Because
right.
my relationship with the Lord may not be the same as your relationship with the Lord, but at the end of the day, we all have a relationship with the Lord. So if I'm trying to tell you what you have to do to have a relationship, that personal relationship with the Lord, that causes dissension, that causes division, that causes people not to want to come to church. But by being
right.
being one accord means that I am worshiping God in my own way.
Amen.
You know, when we look at our parents,
mm-hmm.
Mom was very vocal in how she praised God and how she gave glory
mm-hmm.
to God. Dad was very reserved, but both of
mm-hmm.
them worship the Lord and put God first in everything they did and pushed it down to us. So the whole
mm-hmm.
notion of trying to tell people how to praise God, that's Satan putting up, taking things out of context.
Right.
In the church, so the church can't be on one accord. And that's one thing that we try to do in New Birth, is to make sure that everybody knows it's about love.
That's right.
It's about
mm-hmm.
God. About you may be different, I may be different, you may be loud, I may be quiet, but we're all
right.
here worshiping and magnifying and glorifying God in our own way. So we want everybody to be comfortable where they are with the Lord. There may be some people that have been on this journey longer and some that may
mm-hmm.
not have. There is still no difference. You know, at the end of the day, we're still saved by His grace, and we're there to continue to grow together, and you can't do that if you're judging someone
right.
based off how you believe their relationship should be with God.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, because I was just sitting here, and my mind was going back to when I first started going to church. And as I grew up in the church and doing all different things within the church, and then when the Lord finally did call me, I've seen so much. And, you know, that those passages where it talks about on the day of Pentecost, how
mm-hmm.
they were all in one place on one accord. And if you can find the church that
mm-hmm.
on accord, you're really doing something. I've watched, because I guess in my mind, because of the way that I was raised, you know, you give the man of God or the pastor the respect. And
mm-hmm.
I watched my pastor, Pastor King, go through some stuff. And it wasn't until I got older and in the ministry that I began to understand that man was truly called by God. He was under
yeah.
the influence of the Holy Spirit, because
mm-hmm.
the crap he put up with, the crap that he dealt with, a sane
mm-hmm.
in the would have told them all where to go in no uncertain terms. And, you know, it's a shame that, you know, as we've got, as the church has progressed, we've gotten these big, beautiful buildings and, you know, all choirs and all this other stuff. You know, it's like we seem to have forgotten about the day of Pentecost and what the purpose was. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
with everything. We talk about, you know, if you're not saved, if you don't speak in tongues. Well, I told them, look, I'm saved and I don't speak in tongues. You know, and folk always want to tell you what the Lord told them to tell you.
Right, no, right, right.
Tell me himself. That's why Jesus died.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I've heard so many different things, but it all has to go back to the day of Pentecost and how the Bible says they were all in one place and on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
And as Sheila was saying, you know, that's one thing that I try to teach and preach. Look, y'all don't have to like what I say, but according to the word, you've got to obey it as long as it's coming from the word. Because
mm-hmm.
when I got the new it was anything but on one accord.
Huh.
And I had to fight demons because they were real.
Yep.
And they were dividing, conquering, and you know, these jokers and deacons that had the titles, and everybody wanted to be a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that quick.
Amen.
So
yeah.
what Acts is talking about there is real. And it can happen.
Huh?
If everybody is on one accord.
That's right. And Christ has
to
be the center of it.
Can't be about their own emotions.
Correct.
What they think.
Right.
How they feel.
And this is the example of the power of the church. And the power of the church is being on one accord about who is God.
Mm-hmm.
And who his son is, and who the Holy Spirit is. And when you're on one accord with that, then you can walk in the Spirit.
Right.
And walk in his power, and you can accomplish his will.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of the adversity or the situation or the circumstances. And so we move to verse 2. It says, and suddenly, I looked at that word, Sheila G, suddenly. What it was saying to me was, while they were going about doing the work of God, that's how they got blessed. They weren't just sitting around doing nothing, but they were sitting around, they were doing the work of God. They were on one accord, they were praying, they were talking about God, they were ministering to each other. And as they were going about their daily lives of being obedient to God, that's when the Holy Spirit showed up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the power showed up. And so when we're going about doing our daily lives, being obedient to God, doing, I call it the day in, the day out. Our father used to call it living business.
Yeah.
And you're doing it to the glory of God. You're not looking for anybody to pat you on the back. You're not to be seen. You're not looking to you know, get any accolades. But you're going about doing it sort of like Bible study. You just every opportunity you get, you're going about ministering. You're teaching Bible study. You're teaching Sunday school. You're playing in the choir. Whatever you're doing, you're doing it in an everyday servant manner. And when you do it that way, and I've seen it over and over again, the Holy Spirit will come in. The Holy Spirit will bless. The Holy Spirit will take our ordinary, Sheila G, and make it extraordinary. And then you can know that it's nobody but God that gave the ability to do that. Sheila G. Yeah.
Amen. You know, I've really seen that in the last few years since I would say the last 5 years or so at New Birth, where God has manifested himself regardless of the number of people that are there, those that are there are of the quality. That because those are there are on one accord, everyone that's walking in that door, they may not feel good emotionally or they may be going through something emotionally, but they've made their way to the church because they want to glorify and magnify the Lord. And whether it's 5 people or 50 people, when you do that, God lights that place up. I've been to church. I had to, like, really drag myself because physically I wasn't feeling well. But once you get there, everybody's magnifying, praising, and regardless of what's going on, giving God the glory, it just lights up that church. And it pops from one person to another.
It does.
And leaving, you're on such a high
right.
that even, yeah, the mess is still there that's outside the walls, but you're better able to deal with it. And so what happens is you come to church, you come to place expecting a blessing, expecting the Lord to show up. I mean, years and years ago when Pastor first started pastoring, when there was a lot of dissension in the church, he would make a comment about people sucking on lemons. You know, he's like, you come in, you drag yourself in, you're dragging the devil in with you because you got, like, you look like you just sucked on sour lemons. But it's a thing of you got to come in expecting a blessing.
That's right.
And he would reiterate that so people would come in. And I don't know if it was whether so that he wouldn't say that anymore or what, but they would start to come in with a more positive, with a selfless, I'm here to magnify and glorify God. It's not about me.
Amen.
It's about the Holy Spirit. And so slowly but surely, surely that mindset, as a matter of fact, he hadn't said it in years because that expectation that don't come in with your lip drop down to your feet, with a lemon looking like you sucked on sour lemons.
Amen.
Come in, bring that spirit with you, and I trust you, if you do that, it will hop from person to person. And God
Amen.
Will just up the church.
Amen.
And I have seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it when people have dragged in with the devil with them and sat there with their arms crossed with their lip poked out. And I've seen it when people are going through stuff, but they just had to make it to the church. And you can tell that they're making that effort that, Lord, I'm here. I'm here to magnify and glorify you. I may not be jumping from pew to pew, but I, and then you just see the release of the Holy Spirit. You just make that one little effort, God will tear it up and just blow it up, and you will feel so much better.
Amen.
Amen, Dr. G.
Well, Sheila talked about it, but last Sunday, after I had gone through what I was going through, physically, I wasn't there, but I made myself go. And once I got there, I began to feel the power of God. I felt better, and by the time the service was with, you know, I was on the high. I felt better physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Right.
And she was right. And I tell folks, and I guess at that point I just didn't care because I got both. I was tired of seeing folks come to the church looking all dead and gloom like they had lost their best friend, and they bring junk into the church. And it can work two ways. Either you're going to come in and change that, or come that gloomy look, and it has a tendency to bring folk down. And if I go to church, I want to be lifted up. I want to know I'm going there for a blessing. And now it's almost automatic. You know, when you come into the church, you can feel it. I mean, I've had several people, even when nobody was in the building, dear friend of ours, James, you know, he would come over to the church to work, and he said that this was after years after the Lord had cleaned house and taken some of them demons out of there, he could feel such an easy spiritual release and this was nobody in the building but us.
Right.
And so it is real. God's spirit can be in the but you've got to do your part. And, yeah, you may not feel the best. You may be going through something. But if you, just like that woman said, if I can just touch
the
hem
of
his garment, I
there
know
you go.
That made whole.
That's right.
And we've got to have that mindset. It goes back to the word again.
Amen.
Amen. And that word, when it stuck out, it said subtle. It's like God wants to see us exercise our faith.
Amen.
He wants us, like you said, we might be weak or we might be going through something, but he wants to see us step out on faith. When you step out on faith, God can take that little bit we got.
Try.
Or this voice that we're struggling with right now, and he can suddenly show his might, and you know that's what Paul experienced when he said, "When I'm weak, that's when he's strong." And that's what God does. He comes in because he's more than enough. He's more than sufficient. And when we're in one place on one accord, he'll show up. The Bible talks about where two or three are gathered in his name, touching, agreeing on one accord. He says that he's in the midst.
Yep.
And that lets you know it doesn't take a whole lot of people to worship God.
That's right.
And so we're going to go back to verse 2, Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." And we go down to verse 3, it says, "And there appeared unto them with cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." And that's where you know, Sheila G, when you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's indescribable what you feel. I mean, you know it for yourself. It's not a thing of, I can't explain to you how the Holy Spirit feels for me, and you can you can't explain what the Holy Spirit feels for me. It's an individual thing. So when it says each of them, the Holy Spirit ministers to us, empowers us individually. And then it's a collective thing. But everybody has a portion. And that's what's so exciting, is nobody gets left out. And
Green
Gray screaming, running around the house right now. Nobody gets left out. If you're in one place on one accord and you're just doing service of the Lord will come in and he will light that place up and he will leave nobody out. If you're willing and yielded vessel, the Holy Spirit will come and set a while with you. And everybody will experience it at the same time, but it'll be a different experience.
Right.
I can't even describe it now, Julie G. Help me
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
Why run around the house?
Don't run too far. It's cold out there. You're already not feeling well. But it goes back to what I was saying previously about how everybody has their own personal relationship with the Lord. So, you know, how I gave the example of how, Mom was one that would jump up and run around the house. Dad was reserved, but you could still see that he was magnifying, glorifying the Lord. And it goes back to what I was saying, how everybody wants to cookie-cutter it and try to describe it, that, okay, everybody's supposed to receive the Holy Spirit the same way. Mm-hmm. That's not true.
Nope.
Because we're all different. We don't have the same experiences. God deals with us each in a different kind of way. I know one thing he loves to do to me is wake me up in the middle of the night and have a conversation with me when I'm trying to sleep. But I think especially when I had kids, but I believe it's because that was a time where he'd get my undivided attention. But he deals with us differently. So you can't expect it to be a cookie cutter thing where everybody jumps up, praises the Lord the same way.
Nope.
It's what the way, even with the preached word,
right.
I may receive it one way and somebody else can receive it another way. I know that I have read scriptures before and never seen it read it time and time again, but it'll hit me a different way based off what I'm going through at that point in time. So it is not something that's tangible that you can put your hands on, but it's all about that relationship. And you know when the Holy Spirit is guiding you, just like you know when you're doing something you're not supposed to do, and the Holy Spirit, you got that heaviness on you. And then you go and ask for forgiveness. But when the Holy Spirit hits you, whether he's telling you to go left, right, or disciplining you, you know it, and you can't describe it, and it's different for every single person because that's how much he loves us. He loves us individually, and he takes our individual behaviors, personalities, and he is able to put on one accord so we're individuals, but we can worship collectively in our own individual way.
Amen.
Amen. And when you look at that next verse, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." In other words, there wasn't a picking and choosing. You know, the prerequisite was that they had faith in God, that they were in one place on one accord.
Right.
That was the prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it suddenly happened. It wasn't like you did a cookie cutter thing, or you had to do a cartwheel, backflip, or whatever. You're just being a yielded vessel, a yielding servant to God, and obeying Him. And that's where that initial feeling came, that Holy Ghost. All of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then God began to use them to start spreading the gospel, not glorifying themselves. It says, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they began to perform ministry as they were led by the Spirit of God. And this is the example of all the disciples of God, of Christ, is that we should rely on the Spirit to guide us in ministry. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, you know, one thing I wanted to go back to also, you know, you were talking about, Sheila was talking about, the Holy Spirit will also convict you. If you're not where you ought to be, and it will pull it out of you in such a way you can't do nothing but just cry and boo-hoo and snot-slinging.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way God is. And by the time you get through doing all of that, you can't do nothing but give God the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
And what is so unique about the Lord, you know, and like you say, He loves us that much.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are obedient to Him, you know, we can use what we have at that given moment. Somebody needs to hear, or somebody needs to get what we got for
us.
He will use us in whatever way. Now, a lot of folk may think that we're just going to church, going to spend that little bit of time there, but before you know it, the power of God will come in there and mess you up.
It does.
Even when you don't want it to.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Amen. And so in this ministry, excuse me, in verse 5, it says there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Again, this is where the time of year where they all got together 7 weeks after the Feast of the First Fruits, exactly 50 days after that. And so all of them were being obedient to God, coming to offer their offering. And this is where the Spirit use these disciples of Jesus to minister to them. And the thing is, sometimes people get intimidated by people or someone's social economic status, whether they're rich or poor. But in verse 5, it says they were devout men of every nation. So it was the full spectrum. And that's what God wants. He wants the Holy Spirit to give us utterance to be able to provide and perform ministry to whosoever that's willing. In verse 6, it says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the dynamic of the Holy Spirit, that all these people from every nation were able to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ by these servants that in all outward appearance were just servants. They weren't rich. They weren't, you know, famous, but they were yielded servants to God. And that's all God wants. He just wants a yielded vessel to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be able to do ministry, to present to whosoever will the word of God. And it says they were confounded or amazed, excuse me, because every man heard them speak in his own language. In other words, if you're a yielded vessel, if we're yielded vessels to God, we can spread this gospel.
Right.
Don't get overwhelmed by who they are, or how rich they are, or how poor they are. Just yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and speak the word of God. And God's will be accomplished And people will be amazed by ordinary people doing extraordinary ministry for God. Sheila G.
That's how our best testimony is the life that we lead. You know, our best, the way that we handle situations. You know, as when you were saying that, I think back to, you know, children in the hospital when they're sick, or and they show that courage in Christ, and they and they do things, and it encourages other people. What am I complaining about? Mm. You know, even like the whole situation when you look at Jesse. You know, they told us, you know, mm-hmm. since we found out while we're pregnant, we have the option to abort. But the Holy Spirit said, no, I got a plan. So we didn't.
Right.
But then you look at her life 19, 20 years, well, she's 20 now, 20 years later, it's not so much what she says, but the life that she leads that helps to encourage others, where it's like, I got my faults, I got my issues, I got my my shortcomings, I don't do things right all the time, but I've through so much, but I still trust in God,
mm-hmm.
and so that encourages even some of the other students at her college to say, you go through all this, but somehow you still have a positive outlook, you know, with my situation where I was in corporate, big-time corporate management position for years and years, and then when I was laid off, God gave me a 10-month break. I didn't quite understand it then, and moved me into a consulting position where now I go from client to client, and before I leave each client, somehow, some way, the Lord, through my life, through whatever they come to me, revealed to them the goodness of God. And I allow the Lord to use me. I don't just go whacking people over the head with the Bible.
Right.
In that life, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me. And so they may be strangers to me when I first walk in there. But every client that I've been to, whether it's a couple of weeks or it's a few months, has seen or interpreted or heard something about the Lord. So you just continue to plant that seed, not to look at me, but look at the God in me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think I'm thinking about running out of voice right now.
Sounds like.
We're going to take a couple callers on the phone line, and then we're going to call it a night. But we just want to ask the question, what do you think about this God that can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things?
Amen.
That's the question. What do you think about the God that can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things? We're going to go to the phone line. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year.
I thank God for using ordinary people. It's just a blessing to know that God has no respect to person. And when we give him our best, he pours into us what he would have us to have. And that's his grace and mercy and his Holy Spirit. And so, you know, just give God the glory, because nobody is too great and nobody is too low that God cannot use. All you have to do is surrender yourself, stay humble, and make yourself available, and God will use you for his glory.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Next caller. And last four digits, 3343. You are on the air.
Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
Yes, I was sitting there thinking, and when you try to visualize yourself as saying, you know, you think, always get take God as being yours, and he don't belong to nobody but you. But when you're sitting down or going to dinner and you're going to pray before you eat, you say to yourself, and they always say, you talk to God and praise him and thank him for bringing you. But you think you're talking to yourself, but you're supposed to be talking to everybody. But you get selfish and think that you're talking to God for yourself, and you not mean to do it, but I do it, and I don't mean
right.
but I have done it. But
right.
When you got to, when you take God for yourself, you just think that God belongs to just you. But no, not just you, but he says prayer to talk to everybody. And when he speaks to everybody in his own tongue that everybody could hear and understand.
Yeah.
And
you're not just talking to you. And you got to make it sound like praying at the table. I want everybody to think that I was talking to God about us. But I guess I be sounding like I'm talking about me, and I get selfish, and I don't mean to, but I know how it is, and I try not to be that way. But God does not belong just to me alone. But when I pray for me, and not just praying for everybody else, but the sound I be having an intention to pray for everybody, but hoping that he hears my voice as well as he hears everybody else's voice the same way. And that's the way that I do about talking to everybody. Prays, he prays for everybody. And I hope I made that clear to everything, that I, even by standing, I try to tell everybody, you go pray and let me pray.
Yes.
I'm praying for me. So everybody knows that I'm praying for everybody.
Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you are on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Evening.
I truly think it's an extraordinary thing. I know for me, it was one of the reasons that allowed me to be drawn closer to God. I mean, you hear all of these stories in the Bible, how God uses people. I think one of the stories, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know that one of the stories that stood out was Saul, about who he originally started out as, and then God was able to use him and ultimately look what he ended up as. So for me, it's definitely a blessing when I can actually apply what I've seen in the Bible, what I've heard as a child and never really comprehended. But as I've grown into a man, be able to actually physically see it in the world where God has used ordinary people, people who may have felt they weren't worthy, even some people who didn't even start out in the church, but God used them. And ultimately those people ended up being converted and transformed into something much greater. But also it leaves me with hope. You know, because we're not always the same person every day, every week. We go through things, we go through our trials and tribulations, but through it all, even though we're not perfect, God's will is perfect, but he can still use imperfect people to carry out his perfect will. And I think a lot of times, too, for me, I don't see it when I'm in it. It normally doesn't hit you to the end, or you kind of be like, man, what just happened? What did I just go through?
Right.
Or how did I get out on the other side? So, you know, definitely having a better understanding of the Bible and the Word of God, it's helped me to truly appreciate how God has used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And, you know, and he can use you multiple times. It's not like once God uses you, that's it, you're done. He's off to the next person. If you stay humble, as the young lady stated, you stay humble, you stay passionate, you stay, you know, compelled to just stay in the body of Christ, he will continue to use you. And that's how we'll continue to grow. And he can use us in a variety of methods and ways, and he can put people in your life to kind of help you along the way. But it's a remarkable thing when you actually have a testimony to actually say, I've seen that, or I've gone through that, or hey, I've been through that person. So to me, it's just reinforcement, positive reinforcement that, you know, stay true to Christ, stay humble, stay compassionate, stay consistent, and continue to just show out for the Lord, because tomorrow is not promised. Yeah, I know we're starting 2019, and Happy New Year to everybody, but
Happy New Year.
God can't use you. Yeah, God can't use you if you're not humble. God can't use you if you're not going to know how to carry out his will. You have to make yourself a vessel so God can utilize you, but it's a process. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, and sometimes it can happen in phases. He may have a small task for you here, and the next thing you know, he may have something bigger for you there. And I even use how I ended up in New Birth. You know, I started playing in the living room. My mom realized I could play a little tune or catch a little note. Then I started off going to the youth choir in my home church. And then when my brother went to another church, they didn't have a minister. And it was a very small church, really not too many demands, but God found a way for me to get there to kind of hone my skills and to use me. And then ultimately when things didn't work out, I ended up in New Birth and I was ready for it. You know, and I look back and say, had I started out at New Birth in the beginning, I probably wouldn't have had the success, or the church wouldn't have had the success we've had together by pushing me and working together and having that relationship, because I wasn't ready for it, and it was a process.
Right.
But God used me and said, I see where you're going to be in 6-7 years, but right now this is the direction I want you to go. And ultimately, right. when I left, it wasn't on bad terms or anything. It was just the way that it worked out. I left on good terms. There was no ill will, nothing like that. It was just, hey, God's got something else for me to do, so I have to go. I got to listen to God. I don't know where I'm going or what I'm going to be doing, but I have to listen to God, and I trusted that process. So I've been, you know, witnessing the testimony to that because I've experienced myself, and I didn't really process it until maybe a few years ago as to what happened and how I got here. But, you know, thank God, in February, I think it'll be like 7 years, man. I came here in 2012,
right.
2019. So in February, it'll be 7 years. So
wow.
I thank God, you know, for that process. But ultimately, I didn't go to college. I didn't go to school for this stuff. I didn't do anything. But he used ordinary Brandon to do something
yes.
extraordinary. And Pastor was like, well,
yeah.
I want you to be my minister. And I'm like, whoa, slow down, bro. I'm not no minister. He said, yes, you are. You just don't know it yet, but you are. And then after a while, I'm like, look, just call me Brandon. And guess what? It started catching on, and then I started using it, and then I just ended up wearing it. It fits like a nice tailored jacket now. But before, I felt it was a little too big for me. But he was like, don't worry about it. You'll grow into it. You'll be fine.
Amen.
Don't
right,
worry
right.
about it. But having that belief and realizing that God had some special things for me, I thank God for that. But, yes, God continues to do that in all of our lives, and I will continue to try to be humble and be open so that whatever God has in store for me in the future, I'll be ready to receive it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony, your comment. We're going to go to one more caller, last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. Pastor, I'm in the same position you're in tonight. I've been sucking on these big cough drops all day trying to get my breath.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year.
And I 2018 has been rough, but God has brought me this far, and I know He's not going to leave me. God has always laid on my heart to be humble and to give Him my best.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, He's always used me in that capacity as an ordinary person that was once in my life a different person and converted me into an ordinary person, humble, loving, caring, reaching out, touching someone else.
Amen.
And that has been a part of me for just about all my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
When I was able to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, the power
right.
that God had created all of us to be in our own spirit, His Spirit being in us. And it has manifested in my life so many, many times that things that I didn't think were possible happened.
Mm-hmm.
So many things that I thought was impossible for me to do, to reach out and help somebody else, has happened. And it just reassures you that we all can agree and disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line, God created us all. And
Amen.
He has given us that peaceful humbleness to humble ourselves and convert into that spiritual being that He knows that's in you. He can
mm-hmm.
pull it out of you when you least expect it.
Yeah.
A good example of that was last Friday. The people doing the final work in my house, and I was so agitated. But I just kept saying, you've trusted God this far. Don't let the devil take over. Be kind. Be gentle. Be
mm-hmm.
bold. And I went out to the store, and I came back, and they did something that I told them not to do. But I just kept hearing that little voice. And I spoke gentle. These people were from Nicaragua. Am I pronouncing
mm-hmm.
it right?
Yeah.
But anyway,
yep.
it was a husband and wife. I didn't know they were husband and wife. And I explained to them, I said, I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be disrespectful to you all. I said, but I must say what I have to say. I said, you didn't do what I asked you to do, and you're following somebody else that's telling you something wrong. You don't go into people's homes and do something wrong and expect them to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I was so gentle and so soft. And that's not
mm-hmm.
me, because my sister had already told me she's going to get you. She walked in here and see that she's going to get you. And he was up on the ladder, and he was looking down, and I said, I'm a Christian. And I said, I don't have a spirit of fear, and I'm going to say what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
This is like painting over a car and making it pretty and shiny, and under the hood is nothing. You've painted
mm-hmm.
over this drywall, and it is rotten under there.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect me to accept it. I said, is that right to me? Is that right to me? I said, whatever it is, it must be right. And I said, God is telling me what to say to you. This is the truth. I told him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God is telling me what to say to you. Because if it was the other way, it would be ugly.
Mm.
I don't want it to be ugly. I said, so therefore, what are you going to do about it? I said, I have a contract in my hand here. And it says, he told me that he had to do what the man told him to do. I said, is that the way you live your life?
Mm-hmm.
You want to do something wrong and you do it? Is that the godly thing to do? And when I said the godly thing to do, he said, you know what? I'm just opening my church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a minister. And my wife and I, we felt something about you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what is that wooden thing over there? It was an easel, a wooden easel I
mm-hmm.
had. I'd viewed in our church so many times. I said, it's an easel. That's what you use when you give speeches and all that
right.
kind of stuff. He said, could I have it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, could I buy it from you? I said, buy it from me? I said, you're opening your church? He said, yes. I said, if you're opening your church and you want it for your church, I'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I will give it to you. I said, if you're going to be a minister, and then I read him the riot act from God's word. The man
mm-hmm.
said, I've learned so much. Just a little. For some way, God turned that thing all the way around, and
yeah.
we forgot about what they were there for,
mm-hmm.
and it was amazing. And he said, well, you know, I don't understand your English. I said, God created you.
Mm-hmm.
He created me. I speak English, you speak Spanish. But you know
mm-hmm.
what? God understands any kind of language in this world.
Right.
He made
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
He knows it. So why are you worried about English and this and that? I said, humble your heart. Ask him. He'll guide you. He will lead you. He will show you. He said, well, I never had nobody to talk to me like this. I said, me either, until I met our Heavenly Father. I said, it's not but one. I don't know what kind of religion you're under or being taught. I don't care what language it's written in, but God made it. He created you. Let him lead you. And that's what I see in ordinary people. I'm just an ordinary
mm-hmm.
person. I'm not a spiritual
mm-hmm.
leader. I'm not a preacher. But anybody can be a minister if they love the Lord and they
right.
minister to people and things like that. But it comes at a time when you don't even realize
exactly
that God takes over when you let the Holy Spirit lead you. And I have been feeling bad. I mean bad, can't talk, can't get my breath, medicated to death that I couldn't hardly stand up. But God gave me the strength.
Yes, he did.
To minister to these people that I didn't know nothing about. So he does use ordinary people.
Yeah.
Amen.
To do extraordinary things that we aren't even thinking about, because he sees the beginning and he sees the end.
That's right.
And he said, this young man said, I thank you for what you said to me about the Bible. He said, I never thought of it like that. I said, well, you need to get under some good teaching before you decide to go out here and to lead somebody and lead them wrong.
Right.
You got a long way to go. I said, so you better think about it before you step out there. But that's my version of using people in different situations that you don't even anticipate. But I thank you all for giving me the courage. And I thank Reverend Lindsay, because I did one of the morning meditation, and my voice, I lost my voice and everything, and she interrupted instantly and said, keep going. Don't stop. You're all right. She said, you're going to be all right. And when you have that kind of encouragement in your spiritual life, it's a blessing.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
It's a blessing. She could have cut me off, taken it over, and she said, no, keep going. Keep going. That's the encouragement that God puts in your heart to do when you do the right thing, when you're in that leadership role that he has planted you there to do for others. And I can say this, and I've said it 100 times, I wouldn't give nothing for not a person that's on this line. You feed my soul and my spirit every week that I'm able to get on this line.
Bless
you. And I thank you. I thank you for 2018, and I thank you that we're going to have a great 2019.
Amen.
You all be blessed, and we have a beautiful 2019 coming up. God bless you all.
Bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G., you want a final comment and close us out in prayer, please?
Amen. My simple comments, let us all be ordinary people, allowing the Lord to help us do extraordinary things.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to see and expound on your word, Lord, and to truly understand not only what it is you put in the Bible, but how we can apply it to our lives, Lord. I pray that we would take this word, hide it in our hearts, and take it out to the world. We ask that you touch the body of those that have not been feeling well, Lord. Encourage their spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Encourage, Lord. Recognizing that the body is just a weak thing, but the spirit is very strong, and we can gain patience and strength from it. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.